So we're continuing our series in prayer, and I've got a number of points for you. And I always think on a personal level, you know, I'm not linear. I don't know about you guys, but I, going from point A to point B to point C, I admire preachers that can do that. I can't think like that. I go around the world to get, you know, to a point over here. I just don't go this way. I'm over here and I'm over there. And anybody else have those issues? Stand in front of people with it. It's always takes it to a whole nother level. And so I get nervous before I speak. And I think most people do, I think. But bear with me as we get through this, because there's a lot of good meat in a small section of scripture that we'll be looking at today. And it has to do with prayer. And it has to do with our series, which is Pray, It's More Than You Can Imagine. And, you know, I really feel one of our biggest problems in our relationship with God is when it comes to prayer, we have a poverty mentality. And by that, it doesn't have anything to do with money. It has to do with meager expectations. I think one of the great hindrances in the church is that when we pray, oftentimes we think God begrudgingly kind of answers it, reluctantly kind of does something in that arena, but he doesn't really want to answer the prayers. And so therefore, we pray kind of not expecting anything to happen, and oftentimes as a last resort. And this is the truth. God answers every prayer. Every prayer. And he wants to be involved with our lives. Every aspect of it. We sometimes, I think about God from the perspective as that he's real busy. I haven't been really good, so he's not really going to answer my prayers. And we put all these hindrances in our prayer life based on the false thinking that God is like man. He is like talking to somebody else, and if I haven't really been doing well with them, if I've kind of, you know, been a little hinky, he's not gonna really answer my prayer. He's, you know, I haven't jumped through enough hoops so that he'll respond, and that is totally false. God knows you're a mess, but that's all he's got is us messy kids, and he does not look down on us. So I want today to maybe broaden your understanding a little bit. And you know, we're not the only ones. Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, hey, teach us to pray like you pray. Teach us to pray like John the Baptist guys pray. Now, these guys knew how to pray. They were Jews. They went to Sabbath. Most of them, anyway, went to Sabbath regularly. They knew all the prayers that they would pray and the rituals they would do. They were very familiar with that. But when Jesus prayed and when John's disciples prayed, they saw something different about it. And what they saw was that Jesus expected his Father to hear his prayers and expected answers. He says, I talk to my Father all the time. And so that was a different scene for them. And so I want you to, as we look at a couple verses today, in chapter 7 of Matthew, Jesus is speaking to his disciples about prayer. And he's going to give them a couple of commands and encouragements to do prayer. And then he's going to give them promises in response to their prayers, which God will answer. He promises them God will answer. So in this passage, Matthew 7, starting with verse 7, he said this to his disciples about prayer. He says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone, key word there, everyone, who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Then he gives them an example. He goes, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So we're going to look at this in two different steps. I want to look at it first at the encouragement of what God or what Jesus is saying about his Father in heaven to encourage his people to pray. And it's actually encourage / command. And then secondly, the promises. What he promises if we ask, seek, and knock. So the first point that we want to make sure we understand is this. He invites us to pray. He's inviting them. He's saying, keep praying. Three times he invites them to pray. He says, ask and keep asking for what you need. Keep asking for what you need. Verse 7 and 8, keep asking and you will receive what you ask for. Then he says, keep seeking and you will find the answers. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. So what's he want us to do? Ask your Father for what you need. Seek your Father for the help you need. Knock on the door of your Father's house so he will open and give you what you need. And it's cool that he says he will open. You don't have to bang it down. He will open the door. It will be revealed to you. Number two is he makes promises to us if we pray. He says, ask and it will be given to you. That's a promise. If you ask, and that word ask doesn't mean ask the same thing over and over and over again, which you can. It means ask all your needs. Ask God about all your needs. Because we tend to separate them out. This isn't that important. This isn't that big a deal. And what that does is we exclude Dad from participating and we look to other resources. He says, no. Ask me. Ask me and I will give to you. And then his second promise is you will find. Seek and you will find what you're looking for. You know what a lot of times happens to us? We quit trying to seek out when God doesn't answer right away. We burn out on asking. We don't seek where God is. We don't seek what issues are going on. We ask, it didn't happen the way we wanted. How many have done that? And then they, forget prayer. It didn't answer, go the way I wanted. I'll figure out another way. He says, no, if you seek him, you'll find. Then he says, listen, not only will you find, it'll be opened up to you if you knock. For everyone who asks does receive. The one who seeks will find, and the one who knocks, it will be open. And at the end of verse 11, he says this, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? When you receive, it will be good. Those are promises that God has given us. And Jesus says, that's the way I pray. When I pray, I expect God to move and answer. Now, point three is this. Jesus encourages us not only by the number of invitations and promises, but by the threefold variety of invitations. He says, ask. You know, sometimes when we pray, we feel God is real close to us. It'd be like me asking you face to face. I'm close to God. Me and God are tight right now. I feel the Lord. I am asking him. Then there's other times when we're seeking and we're not close to God. He's out there somewhere. I'm seeking, I'm asking, and I don't know where he's at. He feels a million miles away. Where are you, God? Where are you? What does he say? Keep seeking him. because in those steps toward him, something is going to happen. You will find some things out that God wants to reveal. And then the third time, he says, knock and the door will be open to you. Sometimes there's barriers. Sometimes there's a door that's hindering you from getting to God. And he says, keep knocking on it. Some of you have been praying to God for something for a long time. You just can't seem to break through. He says, keep knocking. Keep knocking, and it will, oh, you won't even do it. It will be opened, and it will be revealed to you. Something will take place. Not only is there variations, but there's levels. When I ask God for something, and I don't really get an answer right away, what tends to happen is it starts to cause me to say, why are you not answering, God? See, one ask can turn into multiple questions. Why are you allowing this to happen? What's going on here? Why is this taking place? What's going on? And I am seeking, why is this not being answered? How come it's taking so long? And in that second level of seeking God, something starts to happen in us. God starts to show us things about us. Oh, God. See, because not always the first ask is really the issue. It takes some discovery to find out. And then we can also get to the third level, seeking and find out there's a block. There's a block. There's a block. I was talking to somebody after this first service, and they were saying, you know, I've been asking God for a long time. And I said, what have you been asking God? And they said, things. I said, well, give me one of those things. I've been asking God for a relationship for a long time. And I've kind of stopped asking. I said, you know what I suggest to you? Seek him. Why, God, is it taking so long for this relationship to come into my life? What is the deal with me? That takes us to seeking. And in that seeking, God may reveal to us and will reveal to us what's some of the knocking, the doors that are blocking this thing. What about me, God? How come, God, when I get in a relationship, it's with the wrong type of person? What's open my eyes, God? And that's what seeking tends to take us to. We start to go, see, God may not be so concerned with the answering of that first question till we answer some others so that that first one can be answered. You guys following me? Why can't I get to this thing? What is stopping me? God, I need more money. What is stopping me from moving into, you know, I just need this. I need this. What is going on? Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's a block. Maybe you got some fear issues that God has to do the good thing that a father does to show us. So there's three full variations, but there's also something else. Before God can really take you into that place, you have to be a child of God. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's calling his dad Father. This isn't for everybody in the world. This is for God's children, those who have made a step into the family of God. Number four says this: everyone who asks receives if they are in a father and child relationship. Jesus is talking to his disciples here about the children of God here, not all human beings. God loves all his creation, but the children of God are a different group. Your children, your family is a different group. That's why God says he takes in the hopes of life. Those who don't have family, I will be the father to the orphan. I will take in the fringe people. my family. That's what. So when we have a father-child relationship, we can count on our dad in heaven not being too busy to spend time with us, not being annoyed when we ask him too many questions, not being triggered because of his weirdness, his sinfulness. God has no sinfulness. Listen, John 1:12 says this, but to all who believed in him, or believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. That's what Chris did earlier today. If you're a child of God, you have promises that no one else has. And that is, he will hear your prayers and he will answer every prayer. And if the prayers are delayed because God is doing whatever he's doing, he's a good father and he's got good answers, we need to keep pressing in. It's not that he's reluctant, it's that he knows how to answer the prayers. Number five is this: our Heavenly Father is better than our earthly father. Listen, in verse 11, Jesus said this, so if you sinful people, he's talking to his disciples here. That's the crazy thing about being in God's family. I am sinful and I am a child of God. He goes to his disciples, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, if you people who have flaws in you, who have blinders on your eyes to certain things, who operate in your parenting out of your own junk, who try to make up for stuff that you lacked and you go overboard in certain areas, or try to take away stuff and change things that you people, your parents were too liberal in, and it caused damage in your life, and so you're going to structure it really hardcore, and you're tainted. He says, but nonetheless, even you sinful parents, in your heart, most of you want to give your children good things. And even in your sinful state, you have some discernment of what is good and what is bad for your child. He says, so listen, and the scripture gives multiple comparisons to God the Father and our earthly fathers, both the differences and the similarities. He says, even though human parents have those flaws, listen, when you pray to God, he's got no issues. He is not parenting you from some broken place inside of him. He did not have a bad day at the office and a bad 12 years as a child. And now he's got to try to deal with that. He is not messed up in any way. So when he gives good gifts, it is good all around. And his intent towards you has nothing to do with you. It is good. And this, it is good for you. And see, that's where faith comes in, to trust that. If I don't understand what's going on, I understand he hears my prayer. I understand he's answering it. And I don't understand what he's doing right now, but I trust him. One of the problems we sometimes, or the jackets we sometimes put on God, is we didn't trust our parents. So we put that on God, that he's not really trustworthy. And if he doesn't answer the way for what I asked, then something's not right. No, you're wrong. And right when I was doing part of this, or thinking about it anyway, see, I got a weirdness. I got some sin in me. I know, hard to believe. But I'm in the kitchen doing something, and Aaron, the three-year-old, is on the sofa. And he goes, Papa, I'm hungry. Can you give me some food? And I went, and you know, just messing around because I got sinfulness in me. And he goes, Papa, don't do that. He showed me his button. His trigger button. So immediately I go, meh. And he goes, Papa, don't do that. And I go, meh. And, you know, and now, you know, and it, there is something perverse in me. I'm enjoying it. I'm messing with them a little, and I don't, because in my family, when someone showed you the soft spot, game on now. You just push it, because that's that, you know, and about the fourth time, I could hear the Lord saying, you know, now number five, you ought to kind of look at a little bit. Yeah, I know. And it's like, there is that thing in us. I'm going to give him food, but I wanted to, you know, I don't know what I wanted to do. That's, I got to seek God on that. There's just something in me sometimes. Are you guys like that at all? Anybody like that? Raise your hand. If you didn't, raise your hand if you're not like that. Oh, you're just pushing my button. I'm not like that. I'm just messing with him. But it's the way we are. We operate at our, when we're at our highest level, we're still flawed. We're still operating out of some stuff. And, oh, I know why I did it. I didn't want to get him food right then. He just ate a little while ago. I got all my reasoning going. Just watch Blippi. And if you haven't watched Blippi, good. Because about 10 minutes of that guy, it's like, you know what? We should break the TV. Now, don't Google Blippi if you haven't watched it right now. You can Google it later, but don't Google it right now. The guy's a multimillionaire because he came up with this way to entertain little kids. It's like, whatever, dude. And that's another point, which isn't on here. Chris and I were talking about it in the office today. Because one of the things, one of the reasons we struggle sometimes with God in our prayer life is it seems like, you know, some people get blessed more, doesn't it? Some people seem, like we did a men's conference 2 weeks ago, and we did it here, and probably there were 60 guys. Well, I was just reading, and Chris told me today, there's another men's conference coming up called SoCal Men's Conference. That was our name 2 years ago. So first of all, they steal our name. And then secondly, they're having it at the Anaheim Convention Center. Well, goody two-shoes for them. So they... What is the deal, God? You know, what is the deal? It's like, you know, and this is the thing. All of us do life, but certain few get to that place. You know, whether it's music, business, I mean, there's a million great singers and musicians, but there's only a few top bands. There's a million people that do business, but there's only a very few that go to that place. And it's like, what is the deal with that, God? And sometimes we put that jacket on God, that he has his favors and that we don't quite measure up. That's a lie. One of the things I have learned from God is that I reach the holiest place I can be as a human, flawed human walking on this earth when I find my delight in him and understand he delights in me. Outside of all the other stuff. When I am okay in my skin, I've reached a level of maturity that I believe probably not that many people reach. When we are okay just as we are, when we understand that the God of heaven isn't like people, he delights in each of his children. And he loves them, and he has gifted them with gifts. And besides that, he loves us. Scripture tells us he delights over us. He sings over us. Just as we are. Because you're always, as you walk in this flesh, going to be sinful children of God. God gets that. But he has promised to answer all our prayers. to keep asking. We're not bothering him. To keep seeking, to find out, where is he in my situation? Because that's what it means when it says to seek him. It's not like he's hiding somewhere and I got to find him. It's like, where are you in this? Where are you? I know in my heart of hearts that God's fingerprints on everything in my life. I know according to scripture that nothing can come to me till it goes through him, and he's worked it so it'll be for my good. I get it here. I don't always get it here. So I have to seek him in it. Where are you? I have to knock when I don't understand, and I expectantly wait. And sometimes he gives us these little answers. And something happened two nights ago where God revealed something to me. I believe, I haven't been able to figure it out, but this is what happened. About 3:00 Friday night in the morning, I'm asleep, and I heard what I thought was Therese carrying in the 3-year-old, talking to him and putting him down on the bed to sleep in the room. First of all, I'm thinking in my head, because I fake like I was sleeping because I didn't want to be involved. And so the first question is, why is she bringing him in here at 3? Because that means the rest of the night, club to the head. Papa, get me water. I'm involved. And it's like this, I want to sleep. And so I didn't say, and they're having a conversation. And Therese was saying, don't wake up Papa, sleep in late tomorrow. It's, we don't have to get up and all this stuff. And so, I make a note in here. I will ask Therese tomorrow, what is the deal? And so the next day, I go to Therese. I go, Therese, why did you bring Aaron in at 3 in the morning? I had to get him water. I had to, get him. He was sniffling. I had to get him allergy medicine. I'm like, it's like right here. I go, why did you do that? She goes, I didn't bring him in. I said, no, I mean last night at 3, why did you do this? I didn't bring him in last night. I didn't carry him anywhere. I didn't touch him. I go, yeah, you did. What, are you going to lie to me now? She goes, I did not bring him in. I said, really? And it's like, she wasn't joking. And it was like, you didn't bring him in? Huh. So I'm thinking about it all day. It's like, am I crazy? No, because he was there. I got up and got him water and I got him medicine. So it's like, he was in the bed. And normally our bed is kind of high, so when he goes to climb in, he has to grab the sheets and pull himself over. So we all know he's getting in. And but he didn't this time. He was laid in the bed. And I think, God, it must have been Sarah. Had to be Sarah. It had to be Sarah. She was talking to him and he was talking back to her about that. I mean, I don't know what else to attribute it to. But I do know this, I've been asking God to let me see Sarah, to let me, now of course I'm beating myself up after that. Why didn't I turn around and look and talk? Another missed opportunity in my life. Thank you for the heads up. And so I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So, I don't know what else to put it to. I don't know what else to say about it. But it was like comforting and it was moving and like, wow. And she was there. I don't know what else to say. I don't know if it's true or not. I believe it is because I was there. And so sometimes in our asking and seeking and knocking, God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Maybe he didn't want me to see it, but he wanted me to hear it. Or maybe it was, he had crawled in and they just, I don't know. But I'm cool with it and I'm glad. And I tell this to you guys because your world is your world. And your papa hears your prayers. And your papa will move in to answer them as he sees fit, when he sees fit, because there's more going on than just the immediate ask. So don't ever limit your understanding of God the Father to your experiences, of your past, of your earthly father, or lack thereof. He is a good God. So this is number six. So we can trust God's goodness because he has already made us his children. God did the best thing he could ever do for any of us by making us his children. So how will he not do other good things for us? He will always work on our behalf. He has no other agenda. It will work out for good. And it takes us to the last one, which is number seven. The cross, which is implied here, it's not one of the expressed ones, but it's implied here that our foundation of prayer is Jesus Christ. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Jesus dealt with our sinfulness so that it is no longer an issue between us and Father. Oh yeah, I need to walk as well as I can, but I'm going to fail. A good man falls a lot. But I still have all the privilege and rights of a child of God to talk to him, and he does not look at me as shameful. It's all been put on Jesus. So, the death of Jesus paves the way for not only our adoption as children, but to the answering and the family relationship with the Father that we all long for and hunger for in our lives. I have not met too many people on the earthly realm that don't have some kind of daddy or mommy issues. We are damaged because we live with damaged people, and we damage because we're damaged. You know, to think otherwise is to fool yourself. But know this, there is a massive, infinite gulf between our Father in heaven and all earthly human beings in his relationship to us. So, Jesus said this in verse 9 of that chapter. He said, "You parents, if your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not." This statement here prompts me to go to the flip side. You know, sometimes when we think we're asking for a loaf of bread, what we're really asking for from God's perspective is a stone. What we're asking for is not good for us. You need to understand that some of the things you ask for from God's perspective are not good for you. Just like a good parent will not give their child a serpent, a poisonous snake to play with. He goes, if normal human parents wouldn't give their kid a snake, do you think I would? I am far greater than they are. But sometimes what you consider a fish is really a snake, and I won't give it to you. And so I will work in your life. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and I will show you what is really going on and where I am really going to answer your first question by dealing with these other issues, and then you'll be able to have what you really want. So he tells his disciples, listen, just because you're not getting the answer you went for, you need to understand there's more to this than just a quick give. So do not stop asking. Do not stop seeking. If your ask doesn't get the answer, seek. What is going on here, God? Ask more questions. That takes you into the seek mode. And then God may show you the door. You won't enter this door. I open it to you. I think some of us sometimes in our prayer, when God actually directs us to the door to go in, we slam that one shut. That doesn't look like a good idea. I would just rather you answer my ask over here. No, I can't answer that till we get this thing cleaned up. You've been wanting a relationship for a long time. This is what I said to that person. What do you think some of the doors are? What a door has God opened that you're not really willing to go through? I don't know if he has. I'm just asking you. Has he given you a door to go through and you're not going through it? I want to be in a relationship, but I don't want to be proactive at all. I want a new job, God. I want a better career. I want something I can play, but I'm not willing to go to school or nothing. I want a better relationship, but I don't believe in that counseling junk. Well, you know what? Probably one of the seeking things that hinders you in relationships is your unwillingness to change. But I want Susie cream cheese. Dude, you can't even get the cream cheese. You can't handle that, let alone Susie. Because why? God loves her. Bringing you into her life ain't doing her a favor. And he won't. Or maybe the reason it can't go forward is because you're a problem. You don't know how to treat people well. You're a manipulator and a user. I can't give you anything till you learn to become a servant. Why would I give you a relationship if you can't serve? What do you think a relationship is? It ain't what they're portraying on TV, that's for sure. You don't walk in the door and she's all over you and you guys are you're hanging on the walls and stuff. That, my friends, is a movie. Okay. This is real life. Yeah. I have an idea. Get a job. That's attractive. No. Am I bitter or something? Somebody stir me up. Listen, here's how we... So, listen. Our God gives good things and only good things. So when you run into that place and you're struggling with that, realize that he's given you a good thing here. You may not see it when you first get in the door. Keep going. He gives you good things, and you're not the kid that he doesn't care about. You're not the kid that got forgotten in the family. You're not the middle child who nobody cares, or the youngest who nobody cares what they think. Or the middle, nobody remembers you. You're not that dynamic in God's world. You are the apple of his eye. He cares for you. He loves you. He's got a plan that'll fit your life. You may not understand everything, but I'll tell you what. Our God will change you, and there will be some day, as Paul says, where we will see that his will is good. It pleases us, and it's perfect. It's perfect. And I encourage you, every time you pray, to know that your God hears and your God answers. So why don't we stand up? One of my favorite sayings to people regarding prayer is this. You, and I've said it many times in my office, I say, listen, these things you're talking about, these prayers you keep sending up to God, let me tell you this about God. You would answer your own prayers the way God is answering them if you had his wisdom, his knowledge, and his power. If you understood your situation from every angle that God understands it, you would answer your prayers the same way. You would move in that same fashion. So we can trust our God. So here's what I want you guys to read. I want it to sink into your hearts as much as it can today. And keep reading this passage till it becomes your passage from Jesus. So in verse 7, let's read it together. Go ahead. Keep on
asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find.
Yes.
Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds.
All right, let's read it again. Now, this time, right from your heart. Keep on
asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened.
Hallelujah. That's a great thing. That's a great thing. Seven promises in there. Three things to do, seven promises. And that sinful thing, Jesus took care of it. Jesus took care of it. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I just pray for each one of my brothers and sisters here as they enter into their prayers today. First of all, God, I pray that they would remember their prayers from before. And I thank you, God, that you never forget a prayer. That every prayer these people have ever prayed will be answered. I pray, God, that most of those prayers, God, they will see in their lifetime being answered. But those that your answers will come after them, I thank you, God, that we will be able to see it from the heavenlies. I thank you, God, for the answered prayers in our lives. I thank you, God, for answering prayers in our lives that we did not expect to be answered. I thank you, God, that we could stand here today where many of us never thought we'd be. I thank you, God, that you will answer their prayers and it will be good. So we choose today to believe that our Father hears our prayers, that we can ask about anything, any need in any area, and that you hear us. And that as we seek you, we will find what is going on. And as we knock, that door will be open. We will see what the block is. And you will do it because you do good things for your children. So God, strengthen our faith that we may remain faithful when answers are delayed, when outcomes are postponed, even God, when our heart's desires are sometimes crushed. We will trust that you are good and that you answer every prayer, and we will see that it will be good. So we say thank you in advance for answering our prayers. We thank you in advance. And all God's kids said,
amen.
God bless you guys. Have a great day.